Dear Father, we thank you very much for the day you have given to us. Lord, it's by your mercy that we are with us. Lord, it's a sign that you are not true with us. We still have achieved for you and we still have something to accomplish in our life. We thank you, dear Lord, for the months, the way we have passed, the days, the year already. As the year gradually, Lord, goes to an end, this being the last week of the 11th. Thank you for all you have done for us. We bless your holy name. Your blessings, your protection, your favors, your healings, deliverance. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the Sunday school. We thank you for the blessings you have received for our sake. May your spirit water it in our hearts to be able to bring forth the expected fruit. We want to thank you for the worship service, the hymns and the crosses that have been sung to praise you, dear Lord, for special numbers also. May your name be glorified. We leave ourselves in your hands as the service continues. By your spirit, Lord, we shower your blessings upon every one of us. Lord, we know that the enemy is always going about, Lord, to rob people of the blessings you have for them. May you stand for your people. May you help each one to be able to recognize every device of the enemy. Have your way, Father. Lord, heal the sick and the afflicted. Lord, take the sins of our hearts. Meet every one of us at the point of our eyes. Those that will have to listen, Lord, through the online, may your blessings be upon them. Thank you, eternal Father. At the end of this service, we have records of glorify your name. Your servants that have gone to Bakata, that you be with them. And bless them likewise. Jesus Christ, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. God bless you. Come, gladden the heart of all of us. We want to continue with the message we peeped into last Sunday school. Just establish what we are trying to talk about. Let's open our Bible to the book of 2 Kings. Five. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. God bless you, can please be seated. The one word subject we put on topic is BET. B-U-T. BET. In the Sunday school last week, we peeped into the life of Naaman, captain of the host of Syria. That verse has its short proverb, what we call curriculum vitae, his CV, his proverb. He was the captain of the host of Syria, and was a great man with his master, and he was honorable. The Lord has given deliverance through him unto Syria. Also, he was a mighty man in valor. But there was a little scratch. Say, but he was a leper. We read last week from the prophet what leprosy is. Now, the prophet said, you can't catch it from one to another. Say, because we used to think. Abraham said he used to think that leprosy was contagious. Well, I've read this personally before. I've read it here before, not this last week. And I know many of us have also read this quote of the prophet. Despite this one, I don't know how many people speak it. We still be able to shake a leper. Despite all the prophet has said that it's not contagious as we think, that he has hugged and kissed them and everything else. I doubt if many of us still has that faith to be able to shake hands with the leper, not to talk of embrace. May the Lord be our Lord. The prophet said it's a horrible thing to have. If you want to know more about leprosy, the scripture, you can go to the Old Testament, you read the Old Lord about leprosy and the cleansing of leprosy. To the extent of even leprosy on building and the rest of it. And the process of cleansing that God has provided, they will go through it. If finally the thing could not be cleansed, if it is a house, it will be demolished. If it is a human being, he is off to the leper's camp. What the Bible calls it several houses, but that is in the bush where they have their own special city. That's where they will enjoy the rest of their life. But initially, God has provision for what will be done. The priests, what the things they will go through, all of them. If you want to stay on that one, that will take the whole side, but we are not going that way. But because nobody is physically leprous here. So we are not talking much of the physical leprosy. But the prophet said that medical science, they don't have remedy yet for it. So even the scripture we are defining to the Old Testament, it's still God that places it. Yes, it is following those instructions. The Bible says, you do this one, you scrape it, you do like this. If it's human being, you do like this, you do like this. All those ones, it is God's instruction. So that instruction from God, you see the process for the healing that God provided. So, and after everything has been done and nothing could be, it's still the same, then that's all. So the prophet said it's a very horrible thing. It's not painful. Like the people that are leper, if you first of all see the hand getting white, then gradually the something will be eating it up until the top of it is off, until it will be going. Fingers will come to this place that you will not see any finger almost again. That is why that Yoruba adage said that when Hindu falls from the hands of a leper, it becomes a witch. It will just be wishing that this needle did not fall, but it has fallen. He can't pick it because he only have his thumb. Yeah. He doesn't have these fingers, the work they do, they are to grip. No? They are to grip. But when it is not there, then there is something you can do. It's off. Alright. So, prophet said those things we remove like that. Gradually, each human being, he eats when they used to allow them to be on the road to Benin. You look at their eyes. You see how the thing has eaten the eyes. All these eyelids and things eating up is very terrible. And when I first read the scripture about Gehazi, I thought that everybody that is a leper is the descendant of Gehazi. Because when I read that, that scripture said that the leprosy of Naaman, say, we clean you and your seed forever. No? I don't know. So anytime I see a leper, I think of Gehazi. That could this one be from his descendant? May the Lord be gracious. Right. Now the prophet, he told us in the message, water of separation that we read last in paragraph 20, that the prophet said that what caused leprosy is wrong diet. And then he said that is also what causes sin is the wrong spiritual diet. When somebody is not eating the correct spiritual diet, sin will come inside. And that is so true. It's so true in all his faces. Before one can actually go into sin, you will neglect God's word. You neglect reading it. You neglect hearing it. You neglect meditating on it. That is when, because when you are hearing it, whether being preached, or you are reading it, or you are meditating on it, it's working inside your heart. And when it's working inside your heart, then it will be difficult for Satan now to be able to also put his own materials in the same heart. Because God and Satan does not live together in the same place. Light and darkness does not coexist. When God's word is penetrating inside like that, it dispels every works of darkness. But when the word of God is in, that is why it pains me when I see people come to church and they don't take the services seriously. Number one, the question is that, why do you come to church? Number two, do you have the revelation of why you come to church? Do you think the church is a place where we come and see people? Of course, I know that people come to church for different reasons. But the reason that we should come to church according to the prophet is to check up with our soul salvation. Any object thing is immaterial. That should be the main reason. And when you are coming to church, you have to pray seriously against every manipulation of the devil. Because Satan also comes to church. He comes to church. He's the one that causes people to sleep. He's the one that causes people, he will start from tiredness. I cannot rule out the fact that somebody could be sick. But it's not every time that somebody will be sick. Are you following me? Somebody may be sick and use some drug that can even induce sleep. It's possible. As part of the healing process for the body. We cannot say that you should despise the medical instruction of taking your drug. You take your drug. But it will not be all the time. But when you see that every time you come, the next thing immediately you see that this Bible is opened, sleep begins to come. How many times have you seen ever sleep during worship service? Have you somebody sleep during worship service before? Nobody sleeps. That is not what Satan is after. He will not ask you not to sing. He won't ask you not to dance. He will not ask you not to clap your hands. Those are not the things that bother Satan. He has a major target. And that major target is that when this word is open like this one, then he starts his work. Because he knows, Brother Abraham said, you just went through spiritual warfare. Brother Abraham said that Satan begins to lay his own word in the principal part of man. That is also where God also begins to lay, because that is the only area where human being can be conquered. If you have children, you have to pray for those children before you come to church. If not, it will not allow you to hear one word of that service. And some people, even when the child is not, they will create someone. I'm talking sense. And I'm talking facts. Child that is doing his own, then every day you carry the child and you throw him up and down. You are looking for something, and you will get it. The whole thing is that you don't want to hear what is being said. Some before you say, they are carrying their Lord out of this place. And you will never see them to the service end. Does that one affect you? After all, if you didn't come at all, service the whole. Say, I will listen online, I will listen online. Even when you don't have listening for online, I will listen online, I will listen online. Service the whole. And that is how it will be when the rapture will happen. You go, you know, go, that's what will happen. You have to pray up.
You pray for yourself. You pray for your child. You pray for that whatever we call distractions, God, don't put them in shame. Bind them. When you do that one thoroughly, that is why there is extra 30 minutes again. If you don't have enough time to even pray enough at all, that extra 30 minutes of between 8 and 8:30, you also have the privilege to first come and kneel down at the altar and present your request unto God, both the one you have and also for this very service. And then you go and sit down and continue in that same prayer mode until the Sunday school takes off. If you don't ask, you cannot receive. If you don't seek, you cannot find. If you don't knock, it cannot be opened unto you. God does not just give his blessing to people because people are sitting down. He gives his blessing to the people that are in expectation. The prophet says, it's what you expect, you will get. And what you expect, you walk towards it. Amen. So we talk briefly about Naaman. We read from the Spirit of Truth. What Abraham told us that recommendation was particularly for Naaman. Before and after him, nobody has been told to go to a river and dig seven times. I know that the Celestial Church here and there, they go to that river, to river different river and bath every now and then. I can tell you that sometimes they go and carry more problems for themselves from their bath. So what's it matter when one man has got to go and bath another woman's wife? It makes things worse. And yet it's called spiritual bath. For Naaman, he thought that. So coming all the way from Syria to come to this place. Number one, the man, even king, come out. Who does this man call himself? He didn't even, does he know the kind of caliber of person that is standing at his gate? He didn't even come out. He was all just sending servant to me. We kind of a man, I don't like it. Then, when he now came with the message, say, oh God, you go and bow, dip yourself in divide by Jordan seven times. And then go. He was furious. So this is how they really like decorum and courtesy in this place. Number one, if we have to talk of bath, he said, the waters in our place is better than the waters here. We have river Abana and the rest of waters there that are clean waters. Which you have gone there to bath maybe several times. With the best soap you can get in the market. And yet, the leprosy is not close. And yet, this man say, as you go to river Jordan and dig several times. I tell you, it was very terrible for him. The person that helped him was the servant that took Agatha. While he was in his anger, you know, I know it's very difficult to talk to people that are under anger and annoyance. Except the one that God wants to have mercy upon. Because when you are discussing with people and anger is boiling, if God is not taking, you won't get anything out of the discussion. Right in your presence, they will be ready to beat themselves. Oh, yes. I'm telling you fast. That's why the prophet called it the first stage of madness. A man does not know where he is. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's under a power. He's under an influence. The things he's talking, he does not know. This man was under this annoyance of anger. Boiling. But the servant told him that, Master, if this man has told you to do something big, suppose he even called a price that you don't even have, what will you do? You perhaps ask us to go back to Syria and go and bring things and dress your food. He just asked you to do a simple thing. He didn't charge you money. He just said a simple thing. Why don't you give it a try? See how far we have come. See the journey we took from that place. We went to the palace. Even the king himself could not help you.
He told you that this is where help can ever come. If God will ever help you, it will be through this source.
And now, see yourself. Why don't you just let us give it a try?
Then, maybe God wanted to show mercy unto him. Then he sober up a little bit.
I said, okay. Where did he myself?
He said, he did that now.
Brother Abraham said, the very spot where he must have given him the very spot to go. Brother Abraham said, it was where it is empty to Mediterranean Sea.
He said, the place is so muddy.
And that is where God said, you go.
It is not the water that will clean him.
It is instruction that is obeying the cleansing.
And that is the hardest thing for people to do today.
And that is why many people's problems remain.
Of being able to listen to instructions.
And those instructions many times, they sound foolish.
They don't look nice.
They don't look reasonable.
They will narrate the matter to you again.
Maybe you are not listening to me well.
Then you start again and bring it and bring it and bring it.
Then you have to still come back to what you are saying.
I understand what you are saying, but this is what I am saying.
And if God doesn't help such a person,
is the only know a sinner always sees himself as being right.
He's full of himself.
Every man, the Bible says, is right in his own eyes.
When you give,
it was his structure.
So the man went there.
I think we read last week where the prophet was describing the way he was entering inside the water.
TV boy.
Let me see if I can just get that and read it, then we move forward.
The prophet said he was holding his nose and tiptoed as he was going to the river.
He didn't want to hear the smell of it,
and it did not even, if possible, the thing should not touch him.
But anyhow it be, he is to enter that thing.
That is the only way forward.
Amen.
Let me read.
Okay, I think I will read this a bit long now.
Restoration of the bride. I will start reading from paragraph 268.
Sorry, 368.
The prophet said, leprosy, Naaman was trying to get rid of his leprosy, but he wanted it in his own way.
But the prophet said that you have to get it the way God brings it.
Let me read from here.
The old darky, colored brother down in the south one time was always happy.
And he, his boss said, what makes you so happy all the time, God?
He said, I got half-fed religion.
He said, there's no such thing.
He said, you made one mistake.
As far as you know, there's no such thing.
He no different.
He said, as far as you know,
you should have said it that way, that as far as you know.
Don't say that there's no such thing.
But just say that as far as you know.
That the prophet was trying to say what the person with the half-fed religion is replying his boss.
When he said there's no such a thing,
so he was telling his boss that you should have said that as far as you know, there's no such a thing.
But me standing here, I know that there is such a thing.
One day he said, I want to get some of that half-fed religion.
He said, when do you want it?
He said, now, okay.
Say, well, let's go get it.
They went out.
Listen close.
He said, here is a halo. It's nice.
Just like you go to a restaurant.
I said, yeah, my wife won't hear me and anything out here.
In this place, nobody will hear me. I say,
this same place.
And the prophet said, that is the way people want it, you know.
Hand it to them on a platter.
He said, we need down here.
Then the old brother said, you don't get it here.
This hotel room or whatsoever you come to, that's not where you will get it.
Let's follow.
Well, sir, he went down to the store. He said, will we get it here?
Then the man, he said, you can't get it here. No.
He said, we'll go over to the concrete.
He still said no. Then he said, where did you get it? Then the man said, follow me. He pulled up his pants leg, walked out in the big pen, as hard as he could, in the mud. He said, come right out here. Here is where you get it. To come in the big pen, God wanted to humble him. He could have perhaps gotten it somewhere else if he was not high up. But the fact that he was high up, that is why God designed the place we have to get it for the lowest place. As we said last week, God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. The Yoruba says, Olorun koju ija si agberaga. He confronts the person, a man an opposition, a man something against the person. When he knows that the person is proud, he will design something to humble the person, or you go with your problem. He said, I don't want to come out there. He said, you don't want it yet, boss. You don't want it. The boss said, I can't enter this place you are. Just to get the religion, just to get the Holy Ghost, that's when I enter, they say, I don't want to. You know, the prophet said, Naaman thought that too. Naaman said, now I want to get it of my leprosy. Elijah said, you go down there in the muddy Jordan, where she empties into the Mediterranean there, and said, she is muddy as it can be. Deep down there seven times. Oh, Naaman said, my goodness. Are there waters better off around Damascus and up there? Oh, they are pretty and clear up there. Man, we see here the other night on the film here, you know. Said, why? We don't want to go down there. I can't go down there. And you know who I am? I'm the captain of the guard. I'm the general of the host. The general will be going to a muddy place. We can't prophet today for this one, says. Well, if you want to get rid of your leprosy, go down there. But if you want to keep it, go up there. And he said, deep. The prophet said, and I can see him walking out in that water. Could you imagine? Oh, that horse is pressing. I can see him, you know, tiptoeing like this. Nose holding, you know. You know, sometimes we preach, we just don't read, we preach. He said, he's doing so. Abraham used some words. The man was holding his nose and was like this. And it's something that is your head there. Now today we have good water for water baptism. We have many of us who are baptized. You cannot determine the kind of water you want to be baptized. Now where we see water? Whether the bathroom water join the water right here, whether the fish boil water join the water right here. So long as you see water that is up to the something like that one, you are entering in there. Whether the smell or not, that's where you are entering. And if you are not ready, you find your level. That is the way some people try to come to Christ. I like to get in. I like to, you know, go to heaven. But, oh, man, wonder if the rest have to look at me. When sometimes when we say, let's bow our head and close our eyes, if you want to remember the prayer, some will be doing like this to see whether there's anybody that raised up high. We didn't see it. But it's not a time to be talking or whatever. But we know that this one, even if he raise up hand, it is hand of limitation. You can't get anything. It is a fast. When you are to bow your head and listen, and then based on what you have asked, it's a personal thing. You don't need to know who is raising up hand. You don't need to know whether one person raises up hand or does not raise up hand. You have had the pastor's testimony before in the Tuesday, something went. Did he what did concern whether others come or did not come? Almost everybody around them were happy there. But it was somebody that was just moody and just looking at because this is 100% opposite of what is used to. But when that conviction comes, you don't see anybody. You don't see, it's a personal thing. You don't see anybody, you just see yourself. If you need to break down and weep, you don't see anybody. You don't notice anybody.
Amen. The prophet says, you hypocrites, you will never get it anyhow. That's right. See, you will never get it anyhow. Don't worry. You don't want it enough yet. That is right. You don't want it enough. That's right. When you are ready to get it, you will get it. Alright. God will give it to you when you are ready. Amen.
So we apart the prophet told us in the message even Pastor, I don't know whether we ever read that last week, paragraph 157 and 158.
How that? When he got there, deep himself about one or two times, and there was nothing. The old leprosy was still there exactly. Went up to four or five times, it was still there. He believed, I don't know what he studied, that if something is to give you a result, like that you need also present, so the result is supposed to be showing. Not in the case of God. God doesn't work like that. You might find that in physics, you might find it in chemistry. You might find it in research that when you have reached this stage, when it comes to the thing of God, God is waiting for the last word to be carried out. That's how the Bible says, full obedience. Everything you know in the word of God concerning you, you've got to follow them. Amen. Naaman wanted to accept his healing at that one time. But Elijah told him to get out there in the old muddy Jordan and dip several times. I can just see him get off his chariot. Oh, a great man. Hold his nose. Here he comes out of the water. Tiptoeing like a cat in molasses. You know? Coming out like this, you know? Getting out like that. Get down in the water. He says, oh, I hate to do this. I hate to do this. Hot dog down. Some people come to the altar like it was seeking appear for them. Yeah. Oh, I don't want to do that. See, coming to the altar is an individual affair. Nobody, you said or maybe here, he said that you should come to the altar. Altar call, Okoba Abraham said, is not much of giving altar call. But he used to also make altar call. But he will also tell us that the altar is your heart. Maybe sometimes they need to have space for altar call and the rest of it. Sometimes, when you make altar call, people to raise up and we ask them to stand up. Sometimes the number used to reduce. Because some, we hide all their head and their body, only the hand will show up. They don't want to be identified with that request. So, when Barbara will now say, stand up, the number reduces. Sometimes we say, come to the altar. You that is on your feet. Sometimes the number will still reduce. Why? Why? No, nowadays, people don't want to be. That's why you will see some people give requests, they will not put name. Because the content of the request is embarrassing. When somebody is desperate to receive God, we pass through these places. When you will come of your own conviction, with tears asking for mercy, it is still this same message. But when somebody wants his prestige protected, you cannot go with God. In fact, when God knows that you are minding your prestige, that is what he really is looking for, where to disgrace you. He jumped one time, then you say, I see God in the leprosy. The prophet said, seven times, right, until you obey the word completely, until you obey it. Completely. He had a good man standing on the back. The prophet said, seven times. No, this was the servant that they carried along. It was not the servant that was not giving him commandment now. It is part of God's humiliation. Jehovah God himself, humble himself.
He came down to this earth. He left his glory. He came. He left the ivory palaces. He left the mighty throne and everything. And he came down among men. Where his own creation will spit on him. Where they will beat him. Where they will strip him naked. Where they will nail him to the cross. Where they will talk evil of him. Somebody was telling me the other day that somebody said like this. I said, he's the best of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was called a bastard. Every evil name you can see under heaven. Then if somebody tell you an insulting word, and you want to destroy the whole world for it, are you up to Jesus Christ? Did Jesus Christ retaliate? Did he even mind anybody? But the things that were said about him, did it change him? It doesn't change him. When we think that we have reputation, there is no reputation that any mortal has. God Almighty Himself, He opened Himself. Because He knew what He was actually after. He knew why He came to this earth. He knew what He came to achieve. And He knew that if He does not lay down everything else, and bear everything, and endure all things, He cannot achieve it. If he has not done all that he done and go through all that he go through, you and me will have been banished to hell by now. There will be no mortal to be saved. Even those in the Old Testament, they couldn't still go in God's presence. They were bound there at paradise, which was just next door to hell.
Amen.
Until you obey it completely. He had a good man standing on the back. He said, the prophet said seven times, Father, just keep on dipping. Amen. That is what the sermons are for. To keep on dipping. Until you are cleansed. Somebody that the old body is entering, you are tiptoeing. You are tiptoeing. The day Abraham was to carry the first set of people for water baptism. He told one of them, you are not worthy for this water baptism. Because of the utterance that the person made. Somebody that he used to know before said, Billy, are you carrying these people to go and dub them there? Then one of them said, I don't mind to be dubbed. Abraham said, you go back, you are not worthy for water baptism. The prophet said that if you go to water, not at the right condition of God's word, he said, you are only going to that water as a dry sinner. Then when you enter the water and come out, say you are coming out as a wet sinner. So the only thing that have changed is that you are wet. In other words, your sins are not forgiven.
Amen.
Anytime I think of that word repentance, it used to shake me. Because that is the foundation of Christianity. Because repentance itself is what actually used to paralyze God. Even if God had determined to punish somebody, if the person repents, he put God in chains, he won't be able to operate again. We are reading in the week and know this book of Jonah, which I know many of you also perhaps read. Jonah the prophet, that was told to go and preach, cry at Nineveh, that yet 40 days, this city has been overthrown. Jonah was an Old Testament prophet, and He's not looking at the area of mercy at all for under no circumstances. All he was after is destruction. He went and brought his message. And the way God designed it to put fear in the people, they have never seen it before. If Jonah had arrived from a ship and had preached, nobody will be hearing. But for the sake of the souls of those people, God had to change the design. As Jonah took his Bible and was going to Tarshish, then on the way, there was trouble on the sea. Then from there, they called for a prayer meeting. Jonah, knowing the reason for the trouble, he didn't attend the prayer meeting. He went to go and lie down somewhere and slept. Because he knew that this prayer meeting cannot yield any results. I don't know whether that's why you are not in church for prayer meeting. But you are wrong with this one. But in that one, Jonah was the major cause of the problem. And he knew that this prayer meeting would never be a success. Then they find him where he was lying down. They said, Arise, O sleeper. Everybody is praying. Everybody is desperate. Everybody is crying to God. With this power, so you are comfortable, Steve? So you are saying comfortable like this one? But where are you from? What is your name? What is your occupation? By the time they knew that he was not prophet, they say, "Abel, come and tell us precisely what is the cause of this problem." He said, "I am the cause." Then you tell us, then what are we going to do that the thing we see? He said, "All that you will do is to just carry me and throw me inside this water." How did God prophet that puts inside water? Nobody have that grip. Nobody have that bonus. He said, "It cannot work. No, Allah will never do that one." He said, "They carry their load. Their load. Until all their love making everything they threw inside the water. The thing did not reduce. Hey! It was even getting more." He told them, "You are just wasting your time. This thing will never cease. I say you told me. Talk. He said, "Oh God, you know our heart. We know the murderer. Now he ask us to do so. You know." Talk. He said, "They have to come and offer offering and sacrifice to God. Say, God, don't let the blood of this man burn our head, you know." And God has prepared another vessel that will carry judgment. Come for his own part of disobedience. He suffered for 3 days. Of course, we all know it's a miracle he did not die. Because he shouldn't survive in that place for even 20 minutes. But he was there for 3 days. So by the time this vessel arrived at the bank of Nineveh, the people, because they are worshiping fish god, they were there assembled doing their sacrifices. And then they just saw something open his mouth, a very mighty fish open his mouth. Then a man stepped out of it. Say, "You beg or perish." Hey. Normally, people that worship idols, they watch out for any emotion around that idol. Because they believe that their idol will speak back to them. And they were expecting their idol this time around to speak back to them in some form. Now, he produced a man which they have never seen before. So they don't believe that this man is an earthly man at all, coming out of a fish. So the thing that he spoke, when they told the king, he said, "Not even a suckling child. That child will cry until he dies. Don't give him anything. Don't give him salt. Your animals, they go cry. God must hear their cry. God must hear the cry of the babies. God must hear the cry of the adults. When you see your child cry, you say you will cry. Your animals will cry. Nobody to give them anything." Both animals and human beings, children and adults, they were all crying. Weeping everywhere. Until God was moved on his throne. Even Israel has never repented like that before. And the people repented. He banged God's hand. Then when the prophet finished his message, he went to go and sit on the mountain, looking at that place that God should do to them as he did to Sodom and Gomorrah. But this time around, something else has happened that used to bind God's hand. That is repentance. That is why the Bible speaks about genuine repentance. The word genuine is an adjective that qualifies the type of repentance that God accepts. If it has not said repentance, then it means that every repentance will be accepted. But when you see genuine there, it shows that there are some repentances that are genuine, some are not genuine. It's the genuine one that God accepts. And when anybody actually genuinely repents at that one, God moves on the scene. That one God can never hold back. You see the wickedest king in Israel, Ahab himself, that was called the wickedness of the king. When he had God's judgment, he trembled. He tore his dress. He put ashes on his head. He bowed his head. And he walked softly before God. Until God called his prophet. Say, "Look at Ahab. Look at Ahab. The punishment I want to give him, I will give him all those things All those things will not happen in his day. It will happen in the days of his son. So only one thing happened to Ahab, just that the blood, his blood was to be licked by the dog, the same place where Naboth's blood. Any other punishment was shifted forward. Why? Because of that repentance. His repentance was deep, that he moved God himself. That is what that repentance can do. When you are to repent, you repent. Let me say this before I move on. If I offend Brother Femin and Pastor said, it's not good as brothers. Apologize to each other. You are brothers. You just don't treat. Okay, Brother Femin, sorry. But not from my heart. This story I did for Brother Femin will make our fellowship to continue. But that story, God did not take it as sorry. My sin remains. My sin remains. It's still on my record with God. I said sorry because Pastor wanted me to say sorry. It's not from my heart. I didn't just want to hurt him. That's why I just said that sorry. If it's me and him, the thing I will carry is, I see, if for nowhere, it will be. Even the things I'm saying in my heart, and the thing I will see at the back, because that thing has been born in my heart, I will still be making my own pronouncement, whether physically or inside. God has all the record. When we talk about repentance, it must be from my heart, genuinely, and repentance is to stop doing what I'm doing. I really feel sorry for what I've done. And I'm saying, God, help me not to repeat it again. Even if I am overtaking, the one of the past is under the blood. Amen. The reason it looks as if we don't have much progress in this spiritual journey is simply because of that word, repentance. It's just because of that word. That is what God is waiting for. And it must be exactly the way God wants it, or he doesn't take it. If God does not take it, he will not ask you not to come to church. He will not ask you not to whatever. Nevertheless, you will not have any progress in life, spiritually speaking. If I apologize to my wife, it is not from the bottom of my heart. As far as God is concerned, nothing. Amen. We talk about Jabez. Jabez was named Jabez. In 1 Chronicles 4, he was named Jabez, which means sorrow or pain by the mother. She bore him at the time of pains, at the time of sorrows, at the time of troubles. That is when he was born. You know, those people, they normally name their children by the reality of what is on ground. They don't name a child just to be a fine name. No. They will just name that child exactly what is happening at that time. The way the house is, that's the way they name the child. But today, you know, we have to look for 5 minutes. Call out one name, you know. Inside somebody else's house. Call out one name. Ayalebi. So some men call our way. So by ya akola in ya denan. Because ile bito call our way is not his own house. This man was named Jabez. Because he was born in the time of sorrow. And Jabez grew up. Perhaps to understand the reason why he was named this Jabez. And perhaps continue to see manifestation of sorrow and pain. Because the prophet says that your name characterizes your life. It's not his fault the time he was born. It's not his fault the name he was given. There may be whatever responsible for it. But it's not his fault. And he has a right to call on his creator. Because he could have been born at the time of plenty. He could have been born in the time of happiness and joy. But this is where he was born. This is when he was born. And he's carrying the name Jabez, which means sorrow and pain. And perhaps his life is trying to go that way.
Then he cried to God.
He called on the Lord.
The Bible says in verse 10 of that scripture, 1 Chronicles 14,
says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would have blessed me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. The Bible says, and God granted him that which he requested. When any prayer is offered from a sincere heart, God will grant it.
I was telling somebody recently, say, you are praying, I said, God cannot answer your prayer.
His heart.
I know they live at Brandabouts. I live in the city, in the Sadiqo Street. That's where I live. So I don't do many for that. I will tell you plainly as it is.
I said, God,
the prayer you are offering in anger.
You think that's the kind of prayer that God is looking for?
God cannot answer your prayer.
We know that God answers prayers. Yes. God answers prayers. We see evidences in the Bible. We see testimonies in the message. We also have testimonies in our life. Why would there be some prayer that God did not answer?
Then you have to look at it.
You have to examine it.
Why will God answer one prayer and will not answer the other one?
Is God partial?
He is not.
Prayer is not just what to do.
Abraham says it's not an haphazard thing.
He said it's a sincere thing. Prayer is something sincere. You are in your right senses.
Even the prayer you are praying in anger, you'll be wishing evil for others.
But you are sober. You come before God. Look at the Lord's prayer.
Our Father who art in heaven,
praising the Lord first.
Hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses.
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
So if you still have even your heart towards somebody and you are praying, you are wasting your time. God doesn't answer such prayers.
He doesn't answer such prayers. You are wasting time.
Look, you can pray in 30 minutes and you have results.
I've seen times that I have not even prayed. I don't even pray more than 2 minutes or so. I'll get the results.
You know, we have to pray plenty. But sometimes, it's not actually the length of the prayer.
That's one of the people that spoke about Brabran.
Brabran said, when will we? The brother said, I can't remember who among those that give the testimony.
Say, we'll be jumping up and be screaming. And say, this man will just speak quietly.
And as he said, it is happening.
Why?
God told him in the beginning, you be sincere and get the people to believe you. And he followed that for years until 1962. Then when he was to enter another realm, then he saw a vision of the binding of the serpent. And God told him, he saw the thing, very empty snake, crossing the road, trying to hit him. Then a voice told him, you can bind him.
They are binding the name of Jesus Christ and the snake twisted and wrote this like hand sign that we used to,
like S and then a little like that, like hand sign.
He folded like that.
Then he said, you cannot bind him also.
Say, okay, I'm going to bind you.
They are binding the name of Jesus Christ.
Then God told him, before you can do that, you have been sincere before. But you have to be more sincere.
God called him to another level of sincerity.
From the beginning of the ministry, he has been sincere. He has been honest with the people.
He doesn't go out for their money.
He loves them. He dies on nothing. He will do them service.
He will do all that he can to help anybody.
Putting all his best.
But he can't.
That God was calling him for something higher.
And then God showed him through that vision that before you can do this one, you need to be more sincere.
Amen.
When Jabez cried to God out of a sincere heart, say, oh God. You know, this Bible, I don't read this one like two lines or three lines. But definitely you can read it under 1 minute, isn't it? His prayer will not be under 1 minute. It might be several hours he lay before the Lord, dishing it out, sweating and crying. Say, oh God, I'm not responsible for what happened before I was born. I didn't choose the time I was born. But only I come to know that I was born in the time of sorrow. And I'm even giving that name to show that. I don't want to carry sorrow all my life. I want your blessing. I want a change. I want you to enlighten my course. Don't let this name bother me. Don't let it reflect in my life. Don't let the bad heart have trouble in my life. Do something about it. And God had him. And granted him his request. One thing is that if a prayer is sincere, and if it's according to God's will, by whosoever, not by a minister, by whosoever, God will hear. Anybody have a right to come before God and come to God? You have a right every 24 hours of the day and at any location. You can kneel down and call upon the Lord. It can be in the farm. It can be in the office. It can be in the toilet. It can be in church. It can be anywhere. When the need arises, when the inspiration strike you, when you see that Jehovah God, this is what he can do for you, then you go on your knee. Go with him. Yes, sir. Go with him.
Amen.
Even though Jabez, the Bible said, he was more honorable than his brethren. He didn't go without hiding. He didn't allow that one to make his head to swell. But he looked at his name, his life. He looked at everything. I said, no. He said, I thank God. At least I'm seeing more honorable than all these other ones. Honorable are in sorrow. He called on the Lord. And God had him. That was a birth in his life. It was his bad part. It was the time he was born and the name is here. When he called on the Lord, that name does not have to be there. If it's today, we can change our name by the revelation of the message. But you are bearing a bad name, change it. You can change. But when you change your name, you also lay before God to effect it. Because name change is one thing. If your life does not reflect it.
Amen.
Let's look briefly at Uzziah. I have two more characters I want to mention before we close, if the time will permit. This man that is named Uzziah, if you read 2 Chronicles chapter 25, you will know the story about his father. His father also was a nice man before he started backsliding. The prophet in the message's influences told us how that the father raised him right, set the right influence before him, and so on and so forth. And he started in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Let's open to 2 Chronicles. Chapter 26. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built a lot and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his father. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Hold on. As long as he sought the law, God made him to prosper. There is nobody that will put the Lord first that God will not prosper. Whether in your studies, whether in your business, whether in your family, in whatsoever you do, you put God first, you will prosper. The prophet told us in Hebrews that God does not deserve the second place. He said, and he does not want the second place. Is the first place or no place? God wants the first place because that is where we have belonged to him. And he will not take the second place of anybody. So when you put him first of all before you in all things, he will prosper you. Be it a student, be it a worker. You see some people in the place of work in Lucas, if they just is the only one that they just prospering there. You see some people, any business they put an hour, because to somebody in business, he said, this person, anything he put his hand, it just working.
Oh, sure.
If you go and look back, there will have been one time that the person fall down to pray unto God. That prayer has not expired. Like I said, there are prayers that go from the depth of the heart, and there are prayers that are shallow. You can pray all night and have no results. And you can pray for 2 hours and you will get results. You must be in the depth of sincerity. Your heart must be just laid open before the Lord. And don't justify yourself in no way. Brother Abraham said, we don't have any right to present ourselves before God as if we are entitled to this, we are entitled to that. Anything we get is by God's mercy. It's by God's mercy. As long as he sought the law, God made him to prosper. The next verse. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines, and brake down the wall of Gath, and the wall of Jabin, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Goba and the Mebunites. All these Arabs and the Palestinians, they are wasting their time. As long as Israel holds unto God's promises, there is nothing that will cheat them. Abraham said that all these nations have wanted to remove them from the map. He said, but they can never do it. About 7 million people. Go and look at them. About 7 million people. Not up to Lagos State. And Iran, they will tell Iran, you can't do nothing. You do anything, you get it. They will be warning people countries that have armories and ammunition. Why? Their armories. No matter anything that these children of Israel put down, that is the harmony that God is working with. It's not even the number of the harmony that matters now. Okay, Bradley was saying the beginning that he has been in the U.S. for several times, that the workplace that they have in the U.S. is uncountable. He said they took him to one side of them that is like almost as big as half of London, where they put the workplace. Say that it is one out of many that U.S. has. If U.S. take a notion to be against Israel, look, God's weapon, they are not Canaan. They can go to this, they have something to start it, and they will not start. Those are the confidences that the children of Israel have. That's how they are making their boast. They are reading what God said, and that is where they stand. Yes. It's not a forget about the number of the things that countries are coming together. Like Britain is against Israel. Canada is against Israel. All those who mentioned are against Israel. A time is coming that almost every court will be against Israel. But God is with Israel. The battle of Armageddon that will be fought near the gate of Jerusalem. Merciful God. Jehovah himself will be said. He will see a repeat of what we did in the scriptures.
Who do you call God?
In those days when they be fighting and rain of stone will be falling from heaven on their enemies. And the Bible said that those that are killed by the stones is more than those that they use for to kill. Let them be 100 million. God have more than 100 million stones in heaven to rain down on everybody. One stone will kill everybody.
What are you talking about?
And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. And his name spread abroad, even to the entry in of Egypt. For he changed himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, and at the valley gate, and at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, other men also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husband. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out of war by bands, according to the number of their accounts, by the hand of Jehu, the scribe Amasiah, the ruler, under the hand of Ananias, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. Another their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,000 and 500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the whole ships and spears and helmets and avenges and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones with her. And his name spread far abroad, for it was marvelously helped. Marvelous, who was the one helping me? It was God. Why did God decide to help him marvelously? Because he set his heart towards God. He wants to please the Lord. He wants to do his bidding. He was doing what was right. And God was happy with him. And everywhere he goes, it was wrote. He was marvelously helped. Till he was strong. Now the next verse. But
there comes the title of verse.
But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up for his destruction.
Did I say that pride goes before?
For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him fourscore priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thy honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth. When they knew you, you know what I mean? That I'm the king. What is the matter with you? I'm the king. He was along with the priest, 81 of them. The high priest, and then the 80 priests, 81 of them are there telling him, king, this place where you are approaching does not belong to you. You are okay in the palace, but this place is for somebody else. Please move out. He got that. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Then Uzziah was brought and had a censer in his hand to burn his head. And while he was wrought with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Isaiah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from there. Yea, himself is led also to go out, because the Lord has smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death. A leper. Why? Just because of pride. Of course, it is easy to get blessings from God. Then Satan will enter into that blessing and try to make somebody to from there go out of the will of God. Like Bible says, prosperity always bring people. When money comes, you see women be attracted by the money. Women are there. Anywhere they see money, you see them. Money brings popularity. It gathers women. And those are the three things. Money. But the first among them is money. If woman get around you, don't get money, they will leave you. Why they check your brother and this man don't get anything? I bet. Uzziah, he was a leper unto the day of his death. And dwelt in a severed house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. That's all right. Let's read from the prophet. Amen. Influence 63:11-13b from paragraph 38. 33:11-13b. How many wonder we are thinking of just now of great men, great servants, who God has used, and finally comes to a place till they feel they know so much about the word of God, till they don't even have it, that time up to pray no more. It's always social business. Somebody visit somebody, go out to dinner. At the time that they should be spending with God alone preparing to come out in the sweetness of the Spirit before the congregation, they are out somewhere with some entertainment. You can't serve God and man at the same time. Amen. God's servant should be an isolated person to him only. If we could only let the people see that, that's how we don't do much visiting. If we want a visit, I was talking to somebody recently. I said, I don't know your house. He said, I will find you. I said, there are so many people's house, I don't know. It is when there is a reason to visit somebody, there must be a serious reason before I go. According to the message, we can't serve God and the people at the same time. So I just come to visit you for what? Are you doing wedding? Or are you, what are you doing? We are not doing anything. I may not visit. Because I have something that I am dealing with to fulfill my ministry. Brother Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needed to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A man has got to study. He's got to take time to pray before he comes before the audience. We have so many things that we have to attend to, quite all right. We do what is possible, what is urgent, what is important. But say you go visit this one today, tomorrow night you are going to a minister that is doing that one, he cannot serve God well. No amen, because you don't like that. I'm repeating what the prophet has said there. Whether you like it, you don't like it, nobody will control me. When I need to study, I will stay and study. When I need to pray, I will stay and pray. If you are coming to discuss with me, what you are coming with is nonsense all the time, I will block you. I'm not ready for a story of Mabopat, how he, whatever. Amen. I'm already responsible to God. When it comes to things like this, I don't want to know what somebody's idea is about. This is the only idea I consider. May the Lord be our help. Alright. Now the prophet said, God's servant should be an isolated person to him only. If he could only let the people see that, that's what we are letting the people see now, they are quiet. And then they get to a place they made themselves under obligation as they meet the people. They meet the people and there is bound to be a one for this and a one for that. And then the man of God gets his mind all tall. And he's so tall up, when he goes to his room, he begins to study. Now, if I don't do this, this man will feel bad about it. No? When he gets to the point that to preach becomes a problem. Because somebody should not be offended. If me myself will be offended, then let me be offended. And then when he walks out to the platform, he hardly knows where he is standing. His mind is all tore up. When he ought to have spent that time with God, they are not social leaders. A man of God should be dedicated wholly to the service of God. And we find that that is too bad that we have it. And another great thing we find, because I realize I'm speaking to ministers, this one was speaking before ministers, this one. And when we come before a congregation, knowing that people perhaps will never meet again like we are this morning, and then the things that you say, God also responsible for them. So you must come pray and asking God what to say, and then depend on Him when you get in the platform for something that will help the people. We all know of men in the field, the great men. Some of them get to a spot till after they get their congregation all around them, they feel so secure. It is a thing that they can even see and get by with it. We have been knowing of ministers taking the wrong road. I don't want to talk much in these areas. Because sometimes, of course, as ministers, we cannot block our ideas from things that people will have to tell us. So we went for ministers, but there are meetings, inside meetings, that even I try to dodge some because some of the meetings are not defined. Right. And many times that is because that they feel secure that, the people will let me get by with anything. The people might, my God. But God, see, you are going to answer to God. You must never try as a minister to try to deceive the ears of your congregation, regardless of how much they could scream or shout or carry on or pat you on the back and say that the message is wonderful. That's not what I'm after. I'm not inspired by amen. If this place is as quiet as graveyard from the beginning to the end, that's not what brings my inspiration. My inspiration is that I'm saying what the prophet said. That's my inspiration. The seed of God, if you have faith in their life, you don't see? Clap, you go and preach in some places. It depends on what you are preaching. People will come and stand at the altar. Almost carry you. Yeah, they will. If the preaching is 2 hours, 1.5 hours, they will be both there, jumping up and down. Look, there are other versions also inside the message that if you open those ones, everybody will be on their seat. Not that you tell them to go and sit down, but the law of gravity will hold them on their seat. I'm telling you, people always like to hear mysteries. Mysteries are fine. But the greatest mystery and the first doctrine of Jesus Christ is that you must be born again. That is the first doctrine of Jesus Christ. And that is the greatest mystery. Apart from that one, everything about Christianity is in vain. Yes. You don't have God's spirit in you, no matter what you do for God, or whatsoever you see on this, how you achieve or whatsoever, all of them is in vain. Jesus spoke to people in his own day. He said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. Any preaching that does not talk about the life of the people as regards to God's word is a useless sermon.
May the Lord be our help.
Right. You must be a servant to Christ to stay honorable with that word, because that word will reflect itself through you, and you are going to influence somebody that is watching your life. Young people likewise, businessmen the same way. People watch your life. If you are in a place for 3 months, people will know you. People don't know you because of the special number you sang. People don't know you because of the instrument you play. They don't know you because of how you can sing, or how you can dance, or how you can clap, or the type of dress you are wearing. That is not how people know you. Every one of us, we are spirit being. There is a spirit inside of you that will show who you are really are. This body you are looking at, that is called Samuel, this is not the real me. The real me is unseen. It's inside. Before you can know the real me, you can't even know me here. You are not seeing the ministry by an anointing. When I leave this place, then I will start the real me outside. That's where the real me,
you will see the real me.
When there is situation on ground, whether I will raise up my hand and slap somebody, that is the real me. Whether I will say that thunder fire you, that is the real me. Whether I will steal your money, that is the real me. What are we keep malice? That is the real me. That is the real me.
People don't know you when you are singing. They don't know you when you are clapping hands or when you are dancing. They know you when your real self come out.
And if you don't, if you are a good pretender, God is smarter than that. Brother Abraham said, when a man is pressed to the wall, himself will come out. And God in his own design, in God will design it that one day you will be pressed to that corner. Then you will be seen. Then you will come out.
Amen. We are speaking on the message that is entitled to the box. Yoruba call it Shubha. We have examined box in the life of Naaman. We have examined box in the life of Jabez. We are looking at the box in the life of Uzziah.
This Uzziah, we read about him in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Very wonderful man.
He was serving God. God was blessing him. And he was prospering. He fight his battle, he overcome. On the right and on the left, everything was moving fine. He was expanding. Things was going wider. Everything was moving fine. But all of a sudden, when he settled down, when he balanced, when he felt that he got everything, when he felt that he's the highest in everywhere, nobody can ask him questions. Yes, he can do anything now, at this point in time. There, the Bible says, pride enter inside. He become arrogant. And when that one happens, that is when God begin to reverse. Came to the something to warm and comfort, incense to God, contrary to God's program. And he was told. And he was told. One thing with God is that when whatever is happening, God will make a way that you are told, that you are warned, that you are instructed. Many people don't take advice. They don't take instruction because to them it's not sensible. What who is giving you the advice? What who is giving you the instruction? If you despise it, you may regret it all the days of your life. You must be a servant to Christ to stay honorable with that word, because that word will reflect itself through you, and you are going to influence somebody that is watching your life. Young people likewise, businessmen the same way. Last week, the preacher that preached last week in the evening, he was saying something that when you employ brethren, let me put it like that.
Let me not say believers. I don't want to use that word believers. Because the name believer is a very sacred name. Believer does not misbehave. They represent Christ wherever they are. But when you employ brethren, sometimes that's when you have the worst experience. They do what they like. Why is it that some of our businesses don't prosper? Why is it that sometimes we ourselves we don't prosper? You know, I've said before, I do. Some people will say, when I'm finished, I don't want to work under anybody. It's a good decision. If the Lord so plan it like that. But there are some people that God want them to work under people. To receive training. When you work under people, the way you do their work is the way you will do your own when you become your own self-employed. Okay, if you don't want to work under people, but you want to establish and employ people, isn't it? God may ordain you that you just from day one become an employee. It's true, it's wonderful. But if that is not God's plan for you, and God's plan is for you to work under somebody, He wants to use that one. There is something He wants to achieve through in that one. And when you are working in that place, you will show your color. You will display who you are. You know, there are some of us when we work somewhere, they will say that when they want somebody that, please bring somebody from your church. Which is a mistake. It's a mistake. Because to bring somebody from the church, if I'm not bringing myself, I don't have 100% guarantee on the person I'm bringing. Because you ask me to bring somebody from the church, does not mean I'm bringing myself. I will not be responsible for the person's behavior. I won't be responsible for the way the person acts. It may be a thief. It may be a thief. Then because it's a brother, it's a sister. In the church of Jesus Christ, the most wicked church that was ever on earth, pastored by the King of Peace and the Lord of Lords, the everlasting Father was the pastor of that church. There was a thief. And when you are doing any work, the Bible teaches diligence. The Bible teaches diligence. If you are not diligent in your work, even if they are paying you 5,000 naira, and you are not diligent and they kick you out, and you come and be scratching your head to see who you collect 5,000 naira from, who you collect them, you will suffer. It's not every beggar that will be hurt. I'm not clamoring for amen. I didn't want you to approve what I'm saying. I am saying what I'm saying, and I will say them without apology. Some people become beggars because they are lazy. Some are very lazy. Majority of the people that we find to be lazy are the people that go to church. Lazy bunch of people. The Bible taught hard work, taught diligence, taught honesty. You must be you that you know. May the Lord be our help. Somebody come to me to say, borrow me 5,000 naira. I will pay it tomorrow. You just discover that tomorrow does not end. And he will not see anything about it. And when he sees you, he will pass on that way. Uh-huh. Because he's not a believer here, he's still an unbeliever. And we have such in the church. I'm talking with authority because I have the experience. I have the experience. I'm not people sitting down looking at me here now. Yes! The sermon that we preach here. The sermon that we preach here. Look. May the Lord be our help. When we preach, we expect the fruit. Because we are fruit inspectors. Jesus Christ, that their fruit is another. When a teacher go and teach throughout the time, at the end of the time, he sets an exam. He wants to know all that I've taught this time. How many of them understand? What do you know about it? By the time, and each lesson at the end of it, they will say, do you understand? Yes! At the end of the time, you will say the test. Many of you are teachers. When you say the test, somebody will get 5/100. Somebody will get 80. Somebody will get 70. Somebody that will be showing the level of their understanding of what they are doing. So is that right? So also the things you preach, we also follow to inspect. And we see some score 0/100. God Almighty, when he trained the children of Israel in Egypt, he began to send terminal exams for them. He said the first time, they got 0. The second one, they got 0. The third one, they got 0. When he reached number 10, he said, these 10 tests were failed. He has to announce the result to them. So once in a while, we have to come and announce the result. May the Lord be our help. Thank God, majority stay inside today. Because I was ready today. If you waka, I will call you from wherever you are to bring you inside. I will send the deacon that so-so person is as I go and bring him inside. I was ready today. Because this thing has come through my heart in the last couple of months. Attitude to services. Is that kind of a person that is ready for the right? Is it that kind of a person that will live a body life outside? When you not sit down to hear God's word. So many people, is a fine brother, is a clinical, but when it comes to money manner, be careful with him. This is a person, very nice, he's a nice Christian, but if he gets annoyed, may the Lord be our help. Uzziah, as wonderful as his testimony was, begged. When God marvelously helped him, when he began to suffer, then he began to get his heart lifted up. His heart began to lift up until he wants to be both king and priest, which that was not God's order. And from there, he became a leper. Leprosy that cannot be blessed. Isaiah was his bosom friend before this time. The prophet said that when Uzziah was serving the Lord, Isaiah loved him. He was a booty to him. He perhaps be giving him cancer. But one day, he saw that this same Uzziah that God loved, that God has helped, that God has established, that has prospered, that is standing. All of a sudden, one day, he went to do what he ought not to do, and he did not even listen to advice. He was even annoyed with the ministers until he got leprosy. And then from there to several house to lepers camp. Isaiah said, what is this? He ran to the temple. When you see a thief, when I came back from my trip, these people went, I took more time to pray. Why? Because I see that it is one thing for somebody to preach this message. It's another thing to live by it. There are both from somebody anointed by a control. Within few minutes, this mountain, this beauty is already upside down. You will see both. Hey. Oh, sometimes I wish I don't hear some things. Because it weakens somebody. It makes me to feel so bad. Then there are questions that will come to your heart. Is this my Christian? Is he born again? Does he have the Holy Spirit? These manifestations, can he come from David said, out of the same fountain? Can Peter and Sutoda come from the same source? So is it with everybody, church members. When we are in church, everybody is nice and fine looking. Like I said, I don't know you now, you don't know me. It is when you start acting, when you start reflecting yourself under tension, in situations, what do you do about it? What happened at that time? When you are pressed for the war, when things go bad, like the pastor used to say, when things go the other way, that you don't expect what comes out of you. The manifestation at that time is the present level of your spiritual life. Don't take it for granted. God is only giving you a sign that you need to go and meet God. If you take that warning for granted and you gloss over it and you just walk over it like that one, you may meet a discouragement or a disappointment at the end of the road. May that never be our portion. Samson, he was another man. It is not everybody that angel come down to announce their birth. Out of the few people in the scripture that the angel come to announce their birth, Samson was one. The angel came down to meet the wife of Manoah and said, "You will have a son. He will be a special one in Nazareth from his birth. From now on, you yourself watch your diet. And when the child is born, he should not cut off his hair. He should never go to Babylon Salon. He should never do this, he should never do that one." And Samson, he was told faithfully by the mother all that the angel said. I don't want to go into the details. But finally, of course, Samson observed that of the, he doesn't follow his friend to Babylon Salon. He was told that this is a secret. Don't release it. We have secrets as Christians that we must not release. In our different capacity, we have secrets that God has given to us. The source of our strength, the source of our victory, the source of our Christian life, we must not release it to anybody. It's a personal secret. Don't cast your fear before the swine. Don't just let somebody come and bring the message so that things will be fine for you. That's a false sermon. It's fake sermon. The message must start from genuine repentance. Genuine repentance that God will accept. Because without that genuine repentance, there is no foundation to your life. If the person genuinely repents, then you take the message. The next step, it was when they repented on the day, when their heart were pricked, that's the repentance. The Bible says their heart were pricked. Not that their bodies, but their hearts. That is the repentance. When God touches your heart, you feel that something pierces into your heart and condemns you of your wrongs. That is God dealing with you. Then the next step is to go to water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you do that, then you start. It is possible that day, depending on the level of your repentance, it is possible that day to receive the Holy Ghost. Can I hear words of amen? If you don't receive it that day, then the prophet says you must continue to stay at the altar until your life is cleansed, until you see a change of life. What is a change of life? Everybody should know themselves where they start from. In the message, I think I'm going to hang this sermon and finish it some other time. Because I wanted to go a little while into family backgrounds. Some of the problems of Egypt come from their family backgrounds. Like Jabez's own was from his back. He wasn't responsible for it, but he just grew up to see it. He just grew up to discover it. But we have examples in the message that people's problems came from their past, came from their foundation. And if that happens to you as a person, then the world also has the answer of what you can do. If you do not go after it the world way, you will be religious. You can be a big person in church. But you may not be a Christian. The rapture we are waiting for is only for Christians. People that are Christ-like. People that have a portion of God's Spirit. Abraham gave us how the rapture will take place. With the experience that he had in the company, maybe construction company. He went there, and as he got to the place, he watched and he pressed a button. A big magnet came down. Then some pieces of iron jumped on it. And then the big magnet picked them and it was taken off And they went to drop him somewhere where they are going to meet it and remove it.
Then the prophet said, this is marvelous.
Say, but I see other material like wooden, shavings, plastic, and the rest. Why is it that they don't go? The person said, because they are not the same material.
Then I see about another question.
Say, what about there are some iron seed that also do not go?
The man said, they are voted down.
They are voted down.
That time, it is not the pastor that will stand and say, let me see. This one is my associate, let him go in the rapture.
And they, okay, I'll have to tell me, I'll do whatever in the rapture.
If I will start together, Baba, in the
rapture. Ah, brother, great teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, brother, very nice man.
Oh, yeah.
It is not the pastor's duty.
The great man, which is Christ, is one that will lower down himself. And the magnet that will pick everybody, it is a portion of his spirit that is in individuals. Those are the ones that will drop off. Where that one is not, no matter how long the person has been in the church, whether he be a preacher, whether he be whatsoever, he will never go anywhere. So the rapture is very simple. It is not going to be the responsibility of anybody. It is going to be the responsibility of the Almighty God himself. This our preaching that we do is to help ourselves. So that if there is a substance in you, if there is a substance in you, if there is an election in you, if there is a deposit of the Almighty God inside of you, so that one can wake up and see what you have to see and make yourself ready and get ready for the rapture. Because outside of that one, all our services, all our sacrifices, everything will be in vain. May that never be the portion of any of us.
God bless you.
Pray, O servant, without prejudice.
Without prejudice, are you going? Oh, yes, we are going. Into his palace.
and the Lord had it. There are perhaps others in the same shoe of Jabez. They didn't realize their position, and they did not cry, and they were left in their problem. But Jabez cried, and the Lord had it. The people of Nineveh cried. They stopped every feeding of any little children. Animals were not left out. They were all fasting and crying unto God. Little children that did not know anything. They were innocent people. But they were just crying. And the mothers would be looking at their children. And insulting that they must not feed them. And they were crying. And God was hearing their cry. Animals were crying. And God heard their cry. They didn't cry. And God heard his cry. Men and women cry. And God heard their cry. It has been like that since the issue of this war. Anytime that man will cry unto our God, Jehovah will hear. The evils they cried in Egypt, God came down and said, I've heard their cry. I've seen their tears. I know their sorrows. He said, I've come to deliver them. Every time Jehovah hears that they cry, cry for mercy, cry for deliverance, cry from the hands of the enemy, that Jehovah will deliver you and make you in his own image. When you cry like that, Jehovah God, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will hear your cry. Brothers and sisters, it's an individual journey. It's not husband and wife. It's not wife and husband. Neither is it parents and children. It's not children and the parents. It's an individual affair. Everybody will face our Jehovah God and answer for the way they spend their life here on earth. You answer before the Creator. You give an account of how you spend your life. What you know to be the truth, what you know to be the mind of God, what did you do about it? If your life is not right according to God's word, Jehovah God, he can repair it. He has what it takes to bring solution to every situation. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, before our Creator, the one that put us here with an expectation from everyone, you have a sincere and deep desire at this time that Jehovah God, I need your attention. There have been people that did that as we have heard. You saw God on the scene. When it is done sincerely and God is not partial, he doesn't consider your color, he doesn't consider your age, he doesn't consider yourself, he doesn't consider nothing. Your status, whether educationally or financially, he does not consider that. God does not discriminate at all. He condescends to men of low estate. Whatsoever your condition, that you know that I'm not in a rapturing state, I'm not in a rapturable state, my life is not in conformity with God's word, with the requirement of God's word. And you say, God, walk upon me, be merciful for me. That same God is here with us this morning. So afternoon, you like to remember the prayer, just lift up your hand. Those at the altar, God knows all their requests and desires. Soberly before the Almighty God, don't do because somebody else does. It's a personal and individual matter before the Lord. Almighty Father, King of Kings and Lord of Kings, we thank you very much for the privilege to be in your house and to hear your word. It is by this same word you created heaven and earth. You brought this word out of chaos
Let there be light, and there was light. Everything that you spoke to existence was by this same word. It is the same quality of the word that is calling your children from a life of defeat unto victory. It is the same life, this same word that is calling your children from the life of zigzag to a straight life. Whatsoever that has been the workings of the devil in the life of your children, you have what it takes to straighten everything. Because we have found examples of people that call upon you and you heard them. There are many people too that did not call upon you and you are not banned, because it is only those that ask that will receive. There are many at the altar and many hands, if not all, are up. You know why the answer is up. It's not altogether sinners. There will be people that just ask for more of your grace, knowing that we can't run this journey on the hands of flesh, not by our power, of our strength. It will be by your mercy. We thank you for either that you have brought us. Lord Jesus, look into every life, look into every heart, look into every request. Look at what they are asking you. Thou Almighty God, that is the same yesterday and today and forever. I will say, whosoever cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. Lord Jesus, may you consider the needs of your people, consider the requests of your people. As you had that of Jabez and you had it, and you granted him his request, may you grant your people their request, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Even in the state of Naaman, with his anger and everything, when he finally found grace with advice and with suggestions to humble himself, to go and do what your prophet said, he received cleansing. Lord Jesus, if there be any that is in the condition of Naaman, filled with spiritual leprosy, which is sin, may they obtain grace from you. So do what the word says, Heavenly Father, so that they may be cleansed, their Father. Oh, Jehovah God, if there be anyone that is sick in this audience, it's written that you sent your word and it healed them. You have given us, your disciples, the authority to cast out all manner of evil spirit of sickness and affliction, wherever they may be, in the name of Jesus Christ, may you vacate from the place. Let the people of God be free in the name of Jesus Christ. Bring them back to good health, Lord. Perhaps the request of your people go beyond this building. Maybe remembering a loved one in some condition. Whatsoever I teach, many like that came to your prophet and they have their petition. Oh, Master Jesus, grant unto your people whatever they desire, their Father. Thank you, King of Glory. May nobody go back the same way, their Father. May they go with the substance of their desires. Let it be their Father. Bless every request, Lord. Bless every desire, Lord. Whatsoever they ask, may they all receive, their Father. Let there be a performance of all that they believe they will do for them. Thank you, Eternal Father. Bless every your wonderful name. We are grateful to you. Thank you very much for joining us. To get to our people that came, Lord, within the country and from outside the country, Lord, for the burial of their loved ones this week. We are grateful unto you. The time they will stay, may you be with them. May you watch over them. The food and the water in this place may be conducive for their body. We pray, Lord, that the purpose of their coming may be achieved in righteousness. When they will go back, may they go with plenty of testimony. Thank you, Eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. The last service that will take up by 2 o'clock to 4, may you make it a great blessing. Thank you, Eternal Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. We place the seat. God bless you. Well, I will do, because people came in during the service, so I will just do part of the introduction and then others will. Let me start from Mama. God bless you, Mama. Can you please rise? That is Sister David Bikobo. That is Mama. I'm sure all the old timers know her. But the new timers. God bless you, my welcome, Mama. It's good to see you. Yeah, Abraham McDavid and the wife. This is her sister, Abraham McDavid, we have mentioned it. She was a member here before she traveled, and that's the husband. God bless you. Even this place is very familiar. I can't remember the name now. Oh, okay, God bless you. I can see that the place is God bless you. God bless you. Yeah, then the others that came with them, can you please write so that will greet you? Because I know that they're okay. God bless you, man. God bless you. Oh. That's the wife of a brother here. That's the wife, and then the mama. God bless you all. We're happy to have you. Yeah, we've been praying about the burial. That God's grace will be successful for the glory of God's name. I wish you a happy stay with us and all your journeys locally and whatsoever the Lord wants over you. God bless you richly. Yeah, I was told that somebody had offered to print the hymns that they needed on Friday. So that would be meant for you to bring the sound book that was earlier. God bless you. The next service is 2 o'clock, sitting time, 2:30, worship service, 3 o'clock. The preaching from 3 to 4. When we dismiss for the day. 9:15, as we dismiss. 9:15, wonderful story of God.